In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That last stanza we just sang is a paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer. And yet the Lord's Prayer is the greatest martyr on all the earth. Everyone tortures it and abuses it. Few take comfort in its proper use. Daily, Christians take it upon their lips, and daily it becomes mindless chatter. It is a good prayer, but our hearts still struggle against evil. We say it because we're at that point in the liturgy and it's written in a bulletin. We say it because it concludes our evening prayer. We say it at mealtime because we would like to eat. We study it because the catechism says that we should. Yet how quickly we forget its truths. God placed his word on our lips in the most perfect prayer that could ever be composed. And we push the autopilot when needed, say amen, without a second thought, and assume we have done some great duty before God. This is an example of how the kingdom of God suffers violence at the hands of violent men. We do not blame governments, but the church visible. The Holy Spirit is not hindered by swords, votes, legislations, or a Congress. He is not hindered by a democracy or by a monarchy. But he is hindered when his word is not preached, when it is twisted, manipulated, and changed, when it is only spoken audibly and yet does not fill the hearts of men, when Christ is cut out, and man thinks that he has done something to make himself pleasing before God. As they treated the Word made flesh, so they also treat the Word. This happens both on a denominational level and on a personal level. For the church visible still drags that Word around, manipulates it, handles it, and abuses it. And the Word is not simply about Jesus, but the Word is Jesus. So to teach falsely, to speak its truths only with the lips and not from the heart, is no different than Judas betraying our Lord, Caiaphas condemning him, and Pilate hanging him on a tree. And yet already in the days of the apostles, men from within the visible church taught that men are justified by Christ and by their obedience to the law of God. Yet through careful and persistent teaching, the word of God was clearly proclaimed. Yet Satan did not give up. He pressed the attack so vehemently that 1,500 years later, in the days of Martin Luther, man did not know how he was justified before God or why he was going to heaven. The word was read. It was chanted. It was prayed. But it was nothing but mindless chatter. The hearts of men were tied to the Pope. They submitted to the worship of the saints. They prayed masses for the dead. They bought and sold indulgences so that men might buy God's forgiveness with a piece of silver. And if they were not good enough to earn heaven on their own, then they could simply buy the good works of someone else. Yes, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence at the hands of violent men. Governments did not destroy the church, but false teaching destroys the hearts and souls of men, enslaves them to the law, and hides the atoning blood of Jesus. It binds them in a prison of their own conscience that accuses them day and night. Thanks be to God for using faithful men throughout history in order to bind men's conscience solely to the word. And so Satan gave up the attack. He finally let the church have the truth that we are justified by grace through faith? Of course not. Far from it. Learn from the history of the Reformation, for the attacks of the devil persist and the failings of men repeat themselves. Today, a countless number of popes crucify God's word by injecting their own teachings alongside God's word. They promote their own vision, their direction, their movement. They claim to have insight and understanding. They call sin a life choice. They call false teaching a difference of opinions. They even encourage men to buy their way into heaven by making a decision for Jesus and to find the comfort of their eternal salvation in the good works that they carry out. Unless we pat ourselves on the back for bearing the name Lutheran, I fear that the Lutheran Church at large is the most lost denomination among us all. Very few, even within the Lutheran Church, hold to the truth that God's word is inspired. They promote homosexuality, women's ordination, even transgenderism, all within the church that bears Luther's name. But enough of them. They are not here. You are. So what of you? Well, each of us has a little pope inside of us that wants to be the authority and the judge of God's word. How tempting it is to judge that word of God by our own life experiences. Should it not be the other way around? Should our hearts not be tied to the word of God and to that word alone? Whether it's a great doctrine, a clear doctrine, or even a difficult doctrine, every doctrine matters. Even the ones society abhors, denominations ignore in the name of outreach, and we may call a minor detail. We cannot say that we are saved by grace through faith and then think that God is pleased because the Lord's Prayer was on my lips, even though my heart was far from it. We cannot live in sin, ignore the commands of God, and then think that we are justified by God simply because we know the proper slogans to say. Is close enough really good enough? Do you really want to stake eternity that you were close enough? Yes, the kingdom of God suffers violence from our own sinful flesh. So today is a call to repent from our abuse of the word of God, as if we were judge over it, and to submit our hearts to it, so that we may take it up on our lips with sincerity and in faith. Let us repent from our self-centered ways, for Christ alone is the center of all teaching. We cannot stand on a lukewarm confession. We cannot stand on the idea that close enough is good enough. We cannot hold on to justification by grace through faith and then act as if the doctrinal details are unimportant. For discarding those details eventually leads to the destruction of that central issue, saved by grace through faith. Doctrines are not separate ideas that you can pick and choose, but they are a unit because they all center on Christ. So to discard even one part of a doctrine, one teaching, is to pull one part of Christ away and to begin to dismember him. So let us desire the pure milk of the word of God in every point. For by that word we find a Savior who has justified us by his word. And in his atoning blood we find salvation and forgiveness, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. For Christ is the Lord and Savior and sacrifice of all. In weakness he established his kingdom. In weakness he conquered the devil. From the gibbet of the cross he crushed the devil and made full atonement for the sins of all men. And so it was in weakness that the apostles wrote and Dr. Luther preached. They preached only the word of God. We do the same. So demand that your pastor preach nothing but the word of God in season and out of season. Tolerate nothing less from him. For only that word reveals the righteousness of Christ to you. Only that word can grant you access into heaven, because only that word justifies you. It is not the musings of a pastor that save, but it is Christ and his word that saves. Let us not think that we are beyond clinging to catchphrases while gutting doctrine. Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain. Or as we heard the children confess today, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. The kingdom of heaven still suffers, for false teaching is just as prevalent today as it was in days past. In fact, the church looks to be in a worse place today than in Luther's day. Names have shifted, titles have changed, but error still persists in all denominations. So we must constantly strive for the Word of God. Let us learn it, meditate on it, discuss it, and find joy in it. Not because we have to, but it must touch the heart. Our prayers must flow from the heart. For narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few travel on it. Many shipwreck their faith by wanting something else, by setting up themselves as the authority over Scripture. So Christ is no longer their first love, but they love unity, they love growth, they love numbers, they love love, they love good works. Little has changed since the days of Luther. Man's heart remains the same. So teach your children and be examples. Unity is not our first love, but Christ is. Growth does not drive us, but Christ's word drives us and molds our thoughts and our actions. It binds our hearts, and we submit to it alone. For that word reveals the sacrificial love of our dear Savior. And without him, we have nothing. Even with numbers, even with great joy and pomp and circumstance, even with great growth, without the word of God, without Christ, it is nothing. All things pass away. Again, as we sang, and take they our life, our goods, fame, children, even our wife, the most precious thing that God could possibly give to us, that of a wife, a spouse. And yet, even though all these things someday will be gone, the word of God remains with us now and forever. Let us never move from that word, for sin is not okay. False teaching is not a matter of doctrinal disagreement. It is a matter of eternal salvation. We need no sword. We need no vote. We need no movement or vision from heaven. We need only the word. Stand firm in that word, even as our Lord stood firm before Pilate. On earth, the kingdom looks terrible. But by grace, the message that Christ crucified is the source of salvation and our only hope and reason for justification. That message continues to be proclaimed, not simply here, but in countless churches throughout the world. The Lord knows those who are his. By grace, we have his word today. By grace, it is preached to us today. By grace, we are justified through faith today. And this is not because of our prayers, because of our words, because of our kindness, our good works, or our love. We are justified by grace through faith. It is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, a gift that flows from that cross to us, not because of our works, so that no man may boast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.